Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, baby!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Mark Richt would like Drew Butler to hit it a mile in the air. And he did. What a kick.
And the SEC's career leader in touchdown passes and completions, Aaron Murray.
Touchdown in stride as he crosses the goal line. Put it right on his hip. What a throw.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Get to the house, sideline, pylon. Touchdown, and the Dogs are on the board first.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Welcome into the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined as always by my co-host, Aaron Murray. And Aaron, week zero's in the books. We talked about how dumb of a name that was last week, and the football was almost as dumb as the name, but I think it was what you and I both expected. First game of the season, long awaited, really sloppy. Lots of turnovers, lots of penalties, a fun one late, a crazy one early. Let's break it all down. Miami and Florida kicked it off at the Camping World kickoff game in Orlando, Florida. You and I went back and forth about this last week, and we will continue to break it down and then look towards week one this upcoming Labor Day weekend. Before we do that, though, make sure you follow us on social media. I am at DrewButler13. Aaron is at AaronMurray11 on Twitter and Instagram. And you have to be following all of our pages on Punt and Pass. We are at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. Our new intern, Christina, has been crushing it. She is doing a giveaway right now. We're giving away some swag from Imperial Hats. Go follow us. Follow Aaron and I as well. And we will make sure that you get everything that you need on our social media pages at Punt and Pass. So thank you, Christina. All right, let's break this thing down, Aaron. Week zero roundup. This is going to be a quick little 10 to 15 minute episode. Florida squeaks it out against Miami on Saturday night, 24-20. This game was infuriating if you were a Florida or a Miami fan. Quite frankly, I enjoyed it. I thought it was exactly what you and I expected. You were right on the outcome. I was right on the spread. That's probably what matters most.
No, I didn't enjoy it for the fact that it was just so sloppy. And I'm not a defensive guy, obviously. I want to see good, clean football. Well, that's expected. Week one, defenses are always a little bit ahead. It takes offense a couple weeks to kind of gel. So now both teams have a kind of a free bye week before their next game to figure out what's going on, because both offenses were just completely up and down. You look at Miami, offensive line was atrocious. I think 16 TFLs, 10 sacks. Jaren Williams never had an opportunity to throw the ball for the majority of the night. And they are young on the offensive line. And you look at Florida, and one of their strengths is the defensive side, especially the defensive line in that secondary. And they just – I felt bad for him, because honestly, at points, he looked like a pretty good quarterback. He moved well. He threw some of those big dig routes, you know, those 16 to 18-yard in routes.
Yeah.
With good velocity, good timing. He made some plays with his legs, found some guys open down the field. But – majority of the night, he was playing from his back, plain and simple. It's hard to play quarterback when you can't step up into the pocket. So that offensive line needs to get better.
Oh.
I kind of blame, honestly, the coaching staff a little bit. You knew you were young at tackle. You knew the strength of Florida's defense was the defensive line.
Yeah.
You got to chip the defensive ends, whether a running back. Sometimes guys use a tight end. They'll put them like in a wing position, give a little chip in route. So you just give them a little shove right in the chest area.
Yeah, just to slow them down.
Or in the rib cage. It's just slow them down, just make them think, or change up the cadence. So there was none of that. So I think they need to start incorporating that a little bit more going forward, just to give their tight ends or their tackles a little bit more time. And then Florida, four turnovers, Felipe.
Listen, oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Before you get on the "I'm going to hate on" and "this is the same old Felipe," let's remember, this is a very good Miami defense.
Yes, we talked
about
that.
And honestly, this was not a terrible performance by Felipe. Two touchdowns. He showed some accuracy at times. I think Dan Mullen really handcuffed him throughout the game, not really opening up the playbook too much week one.
Yeah.
Especially with the offensive line. There's a lot of quick hitters, not crazy, crazy game plan. But at times, Felipe did not look terrible. Obviously, the picks were dumb. The fumble at the 10-yard line when he didn't fully put it in the running back's stomach and then try to pull it out late. You can't do that. You can't turn the ball over in the red zone. And we both agree that last interception was one of the worst interceptions I've seen. But he still played better than what he did at the beginning of last season. So that's promising. The one thing I don't like, though, and this is something I harped on the entire offseason, is Felipe. I want to see him play with confidence.
Yeah.
And you saw that last year. He played with confidence. And I think now he's taking it to the another level, because you and I both know, Drew, there's a difference and there's a fine line, and guys want to walk this, of being confident and being cocky.
Yeah, it's almost like he had fake juice.
Yeah, he was now, last night to me, he was playing as a cocky player.
Yeah.
All the punting the ball, the antics after touchdowns, the
talking to the camera.
I'm Mr. Cool Guy, going up to the fans. Like, dude, just play football. Like, yeah. You can be confident and not be cocky. Last night, he went way over the line. He looked like an idiot. He sounded like an idiot. It's I hope Dan Mullen reels him in. Because I really did think that we saw some promise from Felipe that he's ready to move in the right direction. But then he would go just running his mouth and then go throw an interception. It's like, maybe if you weren't running your mouth to the camera after the touchdown and focused on what do I need to do to get ready for the next series, maybe you wouldn't be throwing stupid interceptions or fumbling the ball inside the 10-yard line. So I think mindset for him, he needs to clean that up a little bit. But I was encouraged, and then defensively, we knew they were going to be stout. They got to clean some stuff up on the secondary, but those guys are so talented, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I get the emotion. First game of the season, a pretty live atmosphere, it seemed like, in Florida. A great rivalry, storied rivalry between Florida and Miami, with it being in-state, obviously. But Felipe Franks, man, terrible look. Terrible look on the personality side. It's almost like Dan Mullen was like wanted to give him that confidence boost at the end of the game. Like, hey, this is our guy right here. We're sticking with him. He even said post game with Marie, he was like, we're sticking with him. We're going to keep rolling. Cause he knew he was doing some stuff and like head scratching decisions where you're like, what in the world is he thinking? You mentioned it, punting the ball after the game, talking to the cameras, talking into the cameras after touchdowns, just stuff that you would never do. You see seniors in high school do that when their game is on the local TV station on a Friday night, not the quarterback University of Florida.
So every coach, they like to say, like, oh, no, it's on to the next game. That night or the next morning, they're turning on the TV copy.
No question.
So Dan Mullen either watched the TV copy last night or he saw it this morning, and he's probably in his chair in his office 100%. Just shaking his head, like, because I mean obviously he doesn't know. I mean he has to focus. I know Grantham's the defensive guy and Mullen's more the offensive mind, yeah. But he has to be a head coach, so he's watching what's going on with the defense, special teams. So he really doesn't know the antics that Felipe is going on behind him. You know, like we talked about, talking to the fans, in the camera. So I think there was a nice little text message today to Felipe Franks. Hey,
chill the hell out.
Come in the office. We got to chat for about 5 minutes. Nothing bad. Just we need to chat for about 5 minutes. And I'm sure Mullen got a little animated with it. But I don't know.
Okay, well, let me say one more thing.
I'm with a clean cut quarterback. You know, do your job.
Of course.
Get back on the sidelines. Figure out what you need to do to get ready for the next series. Go out there, execute. Just do your job. All that extra noise, and I think you said it best, Drew. It was fake juice. I mean, he did. It was not natural. It looked forced. It looked uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable for me to watch. And I hope he's done with it. Honestly, I don't want to see that anymore going forward.
Oh, man. I mean, that interception, I text you. I was like, what the hell was that? I mean, Fowler and Herbstreit couldn't even really fathom the decision he made. There were four Miami defenders, four white jerseys around. It looked like a wheel route. Is that what it was? Because Felipe
they were anticipating they got the ball back after the fourth down.
Yeah.
And they were anticipating Florida would think some kind of either run or a bubble pass was going to occur. So it was pretty much a pump fake to the bubble screen.
That's
hoping
what it was,
Miami thought that, hey, they're going to try to run out the clock, play tight coverage, everyone at the line of scrimmage. So they were hoping they'd sneak it's sort of like a trick play. Pump the screen.
Gotcha.
Those outside receivers would do kind of a fake stock block and go. But Miami didn't bite at all. I mean, I was kind of surprised they didn't. The DB stayed back. The safety stayed back. No one was open. I mean,
they
honestly,
were all right there.
Yeah, Felipe should have just either run the ball or thrown it in the ground. And he tried to force it. Someone was in his face. And just plain and simple is just an awful decision from a guy
you'd hope
wouldn't make it. But going back again for both offenses, week one, you expect it to be sloppy. I mean, we'll talk about the second game too, but this second game was even sloppier.
Oh my goodness.
Game.
I know.
It was at least it was more fireworks offensively. But both defenses were awful, and we knew both defenses were going to be awful in that game. But listen, Florida has a lot to improve on, and I guarantee you we'll be saying the same stuff about a lot of SEC teams this coming weekend as well, because it's week one. You know, you're not perfect in week one.
To put a bow on that game, first off, I took Miami first half plus 4 points. That was a no-brainer. And then, as we discussed last week on the podcast, I took Miami plus 7.5, which was easy money as well. Huge sack on Dan Mullen for calling that fake punt first fourth down of the season. That was really impressive. I was
four downs.
And then the screen was the next play, right? Touchdown was it a screen, I think.
Yeah, it was a little screen later. out to the receiver. A little fake handoff, throw the screen. But it shows you, though, Florida has athletes on the outside.
Oh yeah, that kid.
Even P Ryan out of the backfield, but Hammond was good.
Tony. Yeah, he's a stud. Yeah.
Jefferson. I mean, they got so much speed. Cleveland, Grimes. So I honestly, the biggest surprise for me was how well the offensive line played for Florida.
Yeah, they did. They played.
I thought they played really well for their first game going against Miami's defense. I thought they picked the blitzes up very well. I thought the run game was well at times. So big kudos to those dudes. I think they stepped up and showed that, hey, I know we're the weak point, but we're ready to put this on our back and help lead this team to more wins.
Yeah, and Coach Rick last week when he was talking about Miami and why they went with Jaren Williams, the inexperienced redshirt freshman, he hit the nail on the head too. He said this guy's a good decision maker and an accurate passer. I think after the first half, he was like 13 of 15, Aaron. He had that touchdown in the second half. He played really well. Enos put him into the exact type of game plan that you and I expected with those high percentage short to intermediate throws. DJ Dallas ran well, but when it comes down to it, that offensive line, it was hard to watch at the end of the game. Those tackles,
I felt bad.
You might as well throw me out there at left tackle. Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous, and Jaren Williams had no chance. And then the dagger, the absolute dagger, and I hate to say it because I'm a kicker, punter, whatever you want to say, when Bubba Baxa missed that 27-yarder to go up 23-17, there was just under 10 minutes left in the game. That was a huge turning point, and they just couldn't capitalize. That's a young team. That's a team that Manny Diaz has already believing in the new coaching staff. I thought this game was exactly what I expected, and Miami could make some noise this year. A lot of people are picking them to win the Coastal Division. Not much competition in the Coastal Division in the ACC. So, hey, it was a fun game to watch. We're going to keep tabs on both of these teams, but Florida has got to clean it up, and I would expect them to probably definitely play better down the road. But after that game, turned over to your employer, CBS Sports Network, in Arizona, led by Khalil Tate, was playing Hawaii, led by Cole McDonald. This one got off to a fast start. You and I said we both loved Hawaii plus the points on Island, which is a great bet, always late night. And the over-under was ridiculous. It was 74 points. And you said 2 weeks ago you wanted the over. That cashed easily. But how about Cole McDonald? Four touchdowns, four interceptions, Khalil Tate getting going late, and then that last play of the game, that was like straight out of Friday Night Lights, the movie.
Oh my goodness. It was, well, first off, Hawaii's offense reminds me of what I ran in high school. Four wide, five wide. I swear every other play was just four verticals. I mean, you just have four guys running down the seam.
Yeah.
And Arizona was just playing straight cover three, and every now and then they'll mix in cover two. But even versus cover two, the seams were so wide open. It was just boom, 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 boom. But the issue was Cole was getting too juiced up there. I mean, he started just thinking that he can't be stopped. And then, you know, four touchdowns, four picks. He gets benched at the end of the game. I think most people turned off the TV. They didn't realize that Cole didn't finish that game. Cordero actually finished it. He went 5 for 7 with a touchdown. So going to be interesting to see what Hawaii does going forward, because, listen, Cole's great, great quarterback. He threw for 378 yards, four touchdowns, but you're not going to win games if you're throwing four picks. So he needs to work on that. I thought the most impressive thing was Khalil Tate. He played really, really well in that ball game.
Yeah.
He kind of looked like he looked like 2 years ago.
Yes.
Running the football, throwing the football. He was electric, but that ending was just, it was tough to watch. I mean, it was him down to the 1 yard line. You thought he was going to score. Props to the defensive end for Hawaii, though. I think the play started about the 25, 30 yard line.
Yeah, 31 Khalil, yard line.
Khalil breaks out of the pocket. He starts running.
That nose
guard. Defensive end did not give up on the play. He's the one who made the tackle at the 1 yard line to stop him. So, Hawaii, baby. It's tough to win on the island for opponents, and it was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, you know, Khalil Tate being in that second season of Kevin Sumlin's offense and being healthy, I think he's due for a pretty legitimate year. I talked about it on a show with the Stadium Network last week. I think the Pac-12 is one of the hardest conferences to really guess what's going to happen this season. Everybody's picking Utah to the Pac-12 South, but I don't know if they'll be able to live up to the hype. I know they've got a really legitimate team and a lot of returning starters. But then you look at a team like Arizona. I know they lost this game, but as Khalil Tate kind of shows what he was capable of 2 years ago and then gets comfortable in that offense, I think that they could be in deal for maybe a couple of upset
wins. Watch that defense?
Oh, yeah, they were absolutely horrible. I mean, well, there's no doubt.
There was no speed. The nickels were slow. The corners were slow. The safeties were slow. I mean, Hawaii ran around them like it was nothing. And Hawaii, speed-wise, does not have the speed that a lot of the Pac-12 team has. They have athletes, don't get me wrong, and they got a good quarterback. But they looked very, very slow in the back end. That's going to kill them. I think teams are going to look at the film and say, we just got to spread this Arizona defense out, four receivers, three receivers, whatever it is, create those one-on-one matchups, and they just couldn't handle it. Like, I'm telling you,
They got torched.
Hawaii literally would just run by them. It would just be like, we're faster, and Cole McDonald just launch it, and we're going to go get the football. So I like the offense. I think I agree with you. Khalil Tate, healthy, is electric. He can do a ton of good stuff. I thought their offense improved throughout the game. But another thing, too, this isn't a very good Hawaii defense.
No.
So let's not all of a sudden say this Arizona offense is electric and amazing. You know, when they start getting the Pac-12 playing a little bit better defenses, say that Utah defense with that great defensive line and some of the other defenses they'll face, they're not going to be able to put up 38 points like they did versus Hawaii.
Dude, Hawaii had 6 turnovers, scored 45 points, and still won the game. That should tell you all you need to know about Arizona's defense. But Khalil Tate, to your point, 22 of 39, 361 yards. He also ran 13 times for 108 yards. He had 3 touchdowns and 2 picks. So Nick Rolovich, one of your favorite coaches, as you mentioned a couple weeks ago, you said you really like him. You're going to watch what he does in his second season at Hawaii. So just a good game to end week 0. And look, now we can head towards Labor Day weekend, the official opening weekend, week 1 of college football. A couple of games that we really want to keep in tune with. I think Thursday night will be fun. The launch of the ACC network, Georgia Tech playing Clemson. The big game this weekend's in Dallas, Auburn against Oregon. Alabama plays Duke here in Atlanta. I don't think that's going to be close at all. And then, of course, Georgia opens up with SEC play in Nashville against Vanderbilt. So we're going to break all that down. We will have probably grab a guest for Thursday's show, Aaron. We'll think about who to bring on, keep punt and pass rolling for this upcoming season. But one more question I wanted to ask you. How about Andrew Luck retiring? What the hell? That is
good
crazy.
For him, though.
Yeah,
man.
I agree.
And good for the Colts for giving him his money. That's
They didn't recoup any of the money.
Whooped for his entire career. I mean, he was. I don't care how big and tough and strong you are. If you're getting knocked around by 300 pounders every single week,
forget about
it. Your body's going to go downhill fast, and his did. So I applaud the Colts front office for honoring his contract, his bonus, and all the money. You know, pay the dude. He had a phenomenal year last year. He had a phenomenal career. I think 4-time Pro Bowler. The kid's a stud. But like I said, just like Jaren Williams last night, you can't play quarterback when you're on your back. And there's too many times that we saw Andrew Luck just getting the absolute snot knocked out of him.
He just said the joy of the game had been taken out of it for him, and he wasn't even enjoying his personal life. So he did a little assessment of what was most important to him, talked with his wife, said it was the hardest decision of his life. So, yeah, hat tip to Andrew Luck. Look, the guy has been super successful on the field. He will be super successful off the field. I think any football player or any self-respecting fan would say, hey, go find happiness. Go do your thing. And happiness for us most certainly is watching college football. And thank God. It is back, Aaron, week 1 coming up, Labor Day weekend straight ahead. We will have another episode of the Punt and Pass podcast for you live next Thursday. Anything on the way out, my man? And we can get going.
No, I'm going to go through the schedule right now. Even Thursday night, there's some good games for us to watch. I mean, UCLA, Cincinnati, I think Cincinnati.
Is that Thursday night?
Thursday night, I think Cincinnati is I think in my mind the best team in their conference.
Yep.
I think they're a really good team. Obviously, interested to see what Georgia Tech looks like with their new offense. See what Clemson looks like this year, and then I think the big game, one of the best games of the weekend, is a sneaky game. It's a late night game, Utah and BYU.
Oh yeah,
I think
that is a great game.
BYU is a damn good team, and Utah's picked to win their conference, the Pac-12. So it's at BYU. I think that's going to be a fun one to watch as well. So I know a lot of people are sleeping on week 1, but I tell you what, there's three That's really Thursday good night. Games Thursday night. Yeah, I'm excited. Right. UCLA, awesome. Cincinnati started off.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati should have been ranked in the top 25 preseason. They had a great season last year and then beat UCLA to start the season in LA. So. Yep. Coach Fickell's got it going on over there. Thursday night, sweet. We will definitely have a podcast out Thursday morning for all of our listeners, and then we get to celebrate football being back. I'm fired up to watch the Dogs play in Nashville. That should be a fun game, and we have a ton to talk about. So, Aaron, appreciate you jumping on with me. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Again, follow us on social media, at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. Aaron is at AaronMurray11, and I am at DrewButler13. We will talk to you on Thursday. See you.